And we're back midstream in this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. People are living longer. That's good, of course. However, people aren't necessarily living longer with increased quality of life. That's according to the newest Global Burden of Disease study. So what are the things most affecting quality of life? At the top of the list, heart disease and back pain. Back pain is what we'd like to focus on this half hour. Dr. Joseph Chen is with us, director of the University of Iowa Spine Center, joining us by phone. Dr. Chen, welcome to our program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So does it surprise you that back pain is second on this list of things that cause disability and make our lives lower in quality, even though we have long lives we're living?
Yeah, no, it doesn't surprise me. We've seen this a lot in the Spine Center, and doctors like to kind of treat back pain and try to figure out exactly what's causing it. But research has really shown that it's hard for us to exactly precisely identify what's causing a person's back pain. So,
give us an idea, if you can, of the big picture on back pain in this country. Do you happen to know how many people live with it, what percentage of our population, and how it impacts our lives in the different ways?
Well, most people have back pain that will eventually be severe enough that they'll actually seek a doctor's treatment. Musculoskeletal complaints, including back pain, you know, are one of the most common reasons that people go to the doctor. And there's some studies that show about 60 to 80% of the adult population eventually will have back pain that doesn't go away, that eventually kind of or acutely doesn't go away, and they'll seek doctor's treatment.
Mm-hmm. What are the first things you want to determine when someone comes to you with back pain?
Well, we want to make sure that there's nothing kind of broken. So if there's a history of a trauma or a significant kind of injury or trauma to the body, then fractures are very easy to identify. So getting X-rays for those types of for patients who have a history of fractures or trauma is very reasonable. The other thing we kind of look for are pinched nerves. So pinched nerves are basically when people have pain that radiates from their back all the way down to below their knee, usually, and that can be fairly reliably referred from one of the spinal nerve roots that gets compressed.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, as we age, they get compressed and our spine deteriorates, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it's very common for our spine to age or degenerate, and we have certain components in the spine, like the spinal discs, that are fairly poorly hydrated or poorly they have very poor blood supply, that as we get older, the blood supply kind of slowly gets worse, and then the discs will eventually degenerate. The problem is that sometimes the discs degenerate and people have no pain at all, and sometimes the discs degenerate and people have back pain. So just having a degenerative disc does not necessarily mean that that's the cause of a person's back pain.
Speaking with Dr. Joseph Chen, director of the University of Iowa Spine Center, about back pain, perhaps you have a question. Join our conversation the next few minutes. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk. Find Iowa Public Radio on Facebook, or email us your question, your comment about back pain, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. What jobs, what careers are associated most in your mind, Dr. Chen, with back pain?
Well, people who have to bend and lift fairly or have a very rigorous physical activity load on day to day typically will be bothered by back pain more frequently than people who basically don't have to use their back very commonly. We see police officers, firefighters, and other people who have very, extremely difficult job requirements will have back pain. Healthcare workers like nurses and nursing assistants also typically have to bend and twist and lift heavy patients and stuff, and that we see We see some of those healthcare workers have back pain. But overall, there's not necessarily a correlation that just by having a person who has a very easy job can actually still have back pain. And then there's some people who have very physically rigorous jobs that that they can actually they don't have back pain.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, Dr. Chen, we have with us a registered nurse at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics in our studio. Chris Sagon is with us. She's been roughly 20 years as an RN working in Iowa City, currently at the Adult Leukemia and Bone Marrow Transplant Unit at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. Chris, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
So you were named there as one of the professions that has back problems, has risk of back problems, and you have had back problems. Tell us a little bit about the history of your back pain.
Well, I think it started as a nursing assistant in a nursing home many years ago. There was one nurse and two aides at night to turn and take care of about 100 patients. I think, you know, I used to leave with back pain, and I was in my early 30s, but, you know, a couple of Tylenol or ibuprofen, and I was good. But I think over the as the years went by, I then became a LPN and an RN at St. Luke's, and I worked on the orthopedics floor. So it compiled then. I mean, we had people who were surgical patients and heavy and couldn't walk very well. Needed a lot of help, a lot of physical help, bending down, getting up.
And as a nurse or nursing assistant, it's not like you can – there something presents itself. A patient needs help turning or is having trouble staying on his or her feet.
Right.
You have to be there.
You can't say, oh, wait a minute, and then, you know,
right.
I'll go find somebody to help me. So
right.
A lot of times you're on your own.
So was it – I mean, were there days you'd come home, you said, you know, you – reach for the ibuprofen. Was there a day when you really injured yourself acutely?
Well, I ended up having a laminectomy in 2009, but I can't really pinpoint any one particular incident. I think it was just a combination of many years of wear and tear. It started in my ankle. I thought I twisted my ankle, but as it kind of radiated up my leg, then it was determined that I did indeed have a pinched nerve. And I needed the laminectomy, but my back really never hurt at that time. I mean, you could poke on it. I could bend over. I was raking leaves the night before I went into surgery, but, mm-hmm. you know, it was the numbness down my leg that was really the trigger.
So that is one of the problematic things, Dr. Chen, is that the patients can come in. In this case, Chris had a pain in her ankle, and it can actually have the source in the spine.
Yes, that's actually pretty common. Usually we look for what's called radiating leg pain. So if a person basically extends their knee and moves their ankle up, that typically stretches the nerve. So if it's a nerve that's being pinched or stretched, then there's certain physical examination maneuvers that doctors can kind of look at once a patient's in the office. And that gives us a little bit better of an idea of whether the nerve is being compressed. Otherwise, people can have knee pain or ankle pain or hip and buttock pain, too.
Mm-hmm. Chris, I wonder, do a lot of your colleagues in nursing and healthcare have back pains, too, for the same reasons?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. My husband actually had a laminectomy a year before I did, and he was a nurse also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So have there been changes that help lessen the burden? You've been in practicing for 20 years. Practices hasn't gotten better in the nursing field over the years?
I think so. I mean, I think the hospital really strives to keep our physical abuse to a minimum. We have an ergonomics committee that meets once a month. I'm not on that committee, but I know that they do a lot of grant work to get us the machines we need to lift people, haul them out of bed when they can't do it themselves. And I think that's been real positive. I just think it's sometimes just the wear and tear, bending over, trying to get to a plug-in and being a contortionist, trying to do this or that and
sure.
that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned ergonomics. An email from David mentions ergonomics. Dr. Chen, the question from David, how important is ergonomics? What about sitting and riding in vibrating or rough riding vehicles?
There are a few studies that show that vibration and such can actually be bad for the disc. Overall, if a person tries to stay fit and healthy, that's probably when people have very physically demanding jobs. We really try to encourage them to do other rigorous kind of physical activities outside of work, so that their muscles stay in good shape.
Mm-hmm. Brian is with us from Ames. He dialed 1-866-780-9100. Brian, what's your question? Do you have back pain, first of all?
Yes, I actually do have back pain. I typically hear of more back pain as being in the lower back, but my back pain tends to be more of the upper back, and I was just wondering what are the causes and how do you take care of that?
Mm, yeah, difference between lower and back pain. Lower and upper.
So upper back pain, meaning kind of in the thoracic spine and stuff, is actually kind of hard to figure out too. Sometimes chiropractic manipulation can actually be helpful for certain types of pain. Medically, the thoracic spine is very rigid, so it doesn't move much.
When you say thoracic, doctor, you mean sort of above the waist?
Yeah, basically around the lungs. So the shoulder blade, from between the shoulder blades to the kind of lower back.
Mm-hmm.
So that type of pain is usually muscle related, as we're using our arms and the shoulder blade muscles basically have to kick in to help us position our hands or allow us to kind of move our arms overhead. So thoracic back pain is usually kind of muscle related. Sometimes in certain people, manipulation either osteopathic manipulation or chiropractic manipulation can sometimes be helpful. But usually what we just recommend is trying to have people work on some what are called scapular stabilizer exercises that basically help stabilize the shoulder blade as a person is required to move and bend and twist.
Well, I hope you're pain is better, Brian, in your upper back. Brian in Ames, let's move to Des Moines. Nick calling. Nick, do you have a back pain problem, question?
Yeah, I was wondering to what effect being overweight has on back pain.
Mm, very good question. Dr. Chen.
So there are a few studies that show that being overweight does correlate with back pain. So as most of, you know, the adult population, we're always trying to, you know, maintain our weight or lose weight. It's hard to kind of it's hard to do. What I typically try to have my patients do is if they do recognize that they're overweight, have them try to do some reasonable exercise that they found helpful, you know, when they were younger or when they were kind of in school and stuff. So if they can kind of get back into some preferred endurance exercises and such, there's studies that show that even if a person is overweight and they're exercising, they actually do better with their pain than if they're overweight and not exercising. So there are benefits to exercise even if a person is overweight.
Mm-hmm. And also, isn't that the best prescription? It sounds, listening to you, that's the best prescription for anybody, even a young person who doesn't have back pain yet, exercising.
Right. So there are actually a lot of benefits towards exercise. And there's actually a movement in medicine that basically kind of indicates that exercise is medicine, in which basically prescribing a consistent exercise program that a person does, you know, every day, like taking a pill every day for kind of medical problems, can actually be very helpful. And they're actually basically all the benefits of exercise, they can are, you know, being more and more well recognized, but it's hard for people to find time to do it or find find interest in doing that.
When you have people come to you, lay people don't know a lot about the spine and the back, what do you think are the greatest misconceptions in popular culture about back pain?
So a lot of people are worried that there is actually something broken or something damaged. And basically the definition of pain is basically something that is causing actual tissue damage or something that can cause perceived tissue damage or something that basically is described in such terms. So first, the actual tissue damage, basically, you know, a person who falls, and, you know, stumbles and falls on the floor, basically, actual tissue damage from a low impact type of event is usually pretty, pretty minimal. If a person's really concerned, we usually get x-rays and kind of check to see if there are any vertebral bodies that are broken or cracked or so. But once that has been evaluated and it's no longer a concern that there's any actual tissue damage, then most people should be reassured that that's actually a good sign. But there's still some people who are worried either if they haven't gotten x-rays or if they feel that their doctors have kind of missed how severe the pain is for them. And there's still a concern or a fear that there's something going on. And that perceived tissue damage can actually what's called prime the central nervous system to kind of get really hyped up or over amplified, and then that perceived tissue damage can actually cause changes in the central nervous system for a person to develop this type of chronic pain. So what we try to recommend to patients is if we've checked it out or if your doctors have checked it out and there's really no worrisome structural damage that is broken, then try to or try not to perceive that as ongoing damage. Think about it from a more benign standpoint, like maybe it's just the muscles that are stiff or weak or deconditioned.
Mm-hmm. Let's try to squeeze in one more call. Keith in Iowa Falls. Not much time, Keith. What's on your mind?
Very quickly. A number of years ago, I had stiffness in one of my legs, some neck pain, and also sciatica pain. And I started using inversion therapy every day for probably at least 5 minutes a day.
Hanging from your feet.
And it's hanging from my feet, exactly. And this was after some treatments and some frustration and not getting much relief. And it's been absolutely wonderful for me. I essentially have not had any sciatica or problems with that stiffness and very little neck pain once in a while. But I just was curious if you were employing any of that in your therapies.
Keith, congratulations. Glad you're free of back pain due to hanging from your feet. Dr. Chen, is that a good cure for most?
So it's actually that's actually interesting. So I'm glad that you feel better. The inversion tables, basically, we do are sometimes we get a little concerned if a person has a weak heart, because basically, if you're flipped upside down, all that extra blood flow can kind of be a big burden for some people's with weak hearts. So we kind of are a little kind of cautious about that. But probably the mechanism of why he felt better was basically by inverting himself or even kind of not having the typical muscles that are helping us fight gravity be active, then those muscles got a little rest. They were either able to basically kind of lengthen and kind of get less tight, or he was able to relax them. And then after consistent practice of those muscles not having to consistently spasm or consistently be used, the pain got better.
Dr. Chen, before we go, I want to know, generally speaking, why are our backs so problematic? Is it some kind of design flaw?
Well, I guess the way I tell most of my patients is that everyone's basically a brain with a whole bag of nerves and such that are just scattered throughout our body. And to sense any pain, these sensors are all throughout our body. And when we get a signal that there's some pain sensation or some abnormal sensation, that can alarm us. So what I tell people to do is, you know, get it checked out, and then if it's kind of a faulty error signal or faulty circuit, then basically try to ignore those particular signals, and then basically go back on doing your usual or kind of consistent recreational activities as best as you can.
Mm-hmm. In the minute we have remaining, tell us about the future of tackling back pain. Do you expect breakthroughs in treating or preventing back pain?
So the way I have patients think about back pain, there are two components. One is the muscles, the musculoskeletal system. So right now there's still no pill that doctors can give to people that will make muscles stretchier, stronger, or have more endurance. So despite what you hear on late night TV, there's no proven way to kind of make a person's muscles better. The other part of it is the central nervous system. So we actually don't know how to break into a person's central nervous system and figure out which signals are supposed to be there and which signals are not supposed to be there, or are these kind of error signals. So in some people, basically the central nervous system kind of takes over and basically amplifies this kind of normal achy muscle signal or so. Some people describe it as like an electric guitar that if you hit the strings really, really loudly, yes, you'll hear a loud sound. But also if you hit the strings very lightly due to basically kind of achy muscles or so, but have the amplifier cranked up, you'll actually still hear really, really loud pain signals.
Dr. Chen, we have to go. Thank you very much for your time. Dr. Joseph Chen, director of the University of Iowa Spine Center. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Thank you for having me.
And thanks for coming in, Chris Sagon, an RN at the University of Iowa Hospitals and in Clinics. We hope your back pain is less in the future.
Thank you.
River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Claire Roth. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.